Hey guys, well, we are jumping into 2 Peter chapter 1 on this Wednesday, and the author of 2 Peter is undoubtedly, I think it would be Simon Peter, the disciple of Jesus, though the style of 2 Peter is a little bit different than the style of 1 Peter. 1 Peter tells us that he had Silas assisting him to write it, which would make sense. So this was probably written, 2 Peter was probably written within 3 years of before his death. He was martyred in 68 AD, and if you put all the puzzle pieces together of scripture, then this is within a few years of when he would die. And there's a lot of similarities, I think it's important to note, between this book and the book of Jude, which we will talk about next Monday. And it's very common for writers to borrow from other writers and to work together on books. I think we see this quite clearly in the Gospels, when the Gospel writers would have some almost identical accounts, even word for word, when they would get together with their scribes to write the Gospels, which is kind of cool. Why was 2 Peter written? Really, there's three, it seems like, main points that Peter wanted to get across: to encourage people to grow in their faith, to teach against false teaching, and to prepare people or remind them to be ready for Christ's return. So going back to that teaching about false teaching, if you remember back in 1 Peter, it talked a lot about how to deal with persecution outside the church. And 2 Peter, he spends some time talking about how to deal with false teaching and evildoers inside the church. So the little distinction there between 1 and 2 Peter when it comes to false teaching. So with that, jumping into the first chapter of 2 Peter, he identifies who he is, being Simon Peter, the disciple. And I want to point you down to verse 3. It says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." I just think that's really cool, that God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. There's not questions that we have to have answered. He's given us everything we need to live a life that honors Him. And then he makes, starting in verse 5 to verse 7, he makes a list of things that we need to increase in our life. And he talks about, well, let me just read it. "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love." Do you find it interesting? Does this sound somewhat familiar to Galatians chapter 5 when it lists the fruit of the Spirit? If you're a follower of Christ, these are things that you will have in your life. In fact, these things that he lists right here, there are five of these are exactly the same thing he talks about in Paul talks about when he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. He talks about faith, he talks about goodness, he talks about perseverance, he talks about love, and he talks about self-control. Those are all fruit of the Spirit that Paul listed in Galatians 5. So he finishes this little list by saying, "If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So I think it's important for us to read that part, that we're to possess these qualities in increasing measure. What does that mean? We're growing in these areas, our areas of faith, the area of goodness, our knowledge, our self-control, our perseverance or forbearance, some Bibles will say, godliness, mutual affection, and love. So maybe make a checklist as you're going through this today and reading verses 5 through 7. Maybe just make a little ranking of those areas that you want to possess in increasing measures. And so that's pretty cool, I think. He does go through here, and I think it's important for me to point out, in verse 16, he says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now, I point that out because there's two things here that Peter talks about that he was there for. He says he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And then it says, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on this sacred mountain." He's talking about God speaking to Jesus. Now, he wasn't there at the baptism, it doesn't seem, of Jesus, but he was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were with Jesus. If you remember back to the Mount of Transfiguration shortly before Jesus died. And so I think that's good to point out here. And then he ends chapter 1 talking about prophecy. And he says, "Prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So he's pointing to the Old Testament prophets and saying that they got what they said from God. So that's chapter 1 of 2 Peter. So don't forget to go through that checklist in verses 5 through 7 and decide what qualities need to increase in measure for you. Be back with you again tomorrow for chapter 2.